From between the hedges at Sanford Stadium to the practice fields, from Stegman Coliseum and wherever else the Bulldogs are playing, it's time to talk Georgia sports.
Touchdown, Dogs win it!
From the Athens Banner-Herald, here are your hosts, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
Welcome in. It's the Bulldogs Extra Podcast. Mark and Ryan with you. It is NFL Draft Week. The transfer portal is rolling, especially if you are in Boulder, Colorado with Deion Sanders. Georgia basketball has added some key pieces for next season. Georgia baseball goes for an important SEC road trip, trying to get a couple games there. And unfortunately, more developments in the Devin Willeck tragic situation. Ryan, before we talk about all that, especially the last note, let's start on a lighter note. You can go to one event this weekend in Atlanta, or this week. You pick a Janet Jackson Friday or the Hawks Celtics Thursday. Who you got?
Well, I can only make it to Janet Jackson on Thursday. So since they moved that back to Friday, I can't make it now. So, but no, I guess I would pick the Hawks. You know, I have an aunt that does, as a side job, she does some ushering and whatnot down at the big arena, Mercedes-Benz, that is, and she has two nights of Taylor Swift ahead of her. She's excited.
Is that a good job? Does that pay well?
I don't know if it pays well, but she gets to go to, you know, cool events. In fact, you know, I've gone to see her when Georgia plays there from time to time and say hello and whatnot, but she gets to see all the United games and a lot of concerts, so you know, like I said, it's a second little gig that it pays a little bit, and she gets to see a lot of cool things. So,
all right, let's start.
Would you go see Taylor Swift?
I wasn't talking about Taylor Swift. I said Janet Jackson.
Obviously, that's on Friday in Phillips Arena or whatever now, Farm Arena.
I mean, I would go to either of those concerts if somebody wanted to give me some tickets. I did not, pursue it going to any of those.
But I guess to answer your original question, I'd go see the Hawks in Game 6 on Thursday. That'd be fun.
I did see the Hawks a couple of weeks ago, as you know, because Ryan was nice enough to hook me up with some tickets. I saw the Hawks and the very depleted Washington Wizards towards the end of the regular season, and I don't watch a lot of NBA. Trae Young, and even obviously he had this huge game yesterday. I mean, just watching him operate, run the offense, and he's very spectacular with his kind of wizardry as a ball handler. And I was very impressed seeing him up close and in person, what he can do. So, it's quite a series that they're having now.
Yeah. I mean, Trey shows up, it seems like, in the playoffs. And like you said, what he can do to cut to the basket, you know, you don't know if he's shooting or lobbing it to Capella or, Big O or any of those guys. It's cool to watch.
All right. I mean, Springsteen's touring in his 70s. I presume Janet Jackson could do the same, but I don't know. I mean, the Hawks, they're going to be in the playoffs next year, right? I don't know if Janet Jackson's going to be back in Atlanta anytime soon. I'm just saying. All right. Let's start with the NFL draft. Ryan, will you be glued to your TV Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? And can you give us your first round mock draft right now?
Yeah. So we'll go backwards. At number 32, I will be watching a good bit. Yeah, I mean, obviously the past couple of years, what Georgia's been able to do and put all those guys in, last year in the first round, I mean, good Lordy. And then just second round, I think back to Chubb and, him going early in that draft a couple of years ago. It seemed like somebody else went very early in that draft from Georgia, and you're always just tuned in, who's that guy? I think last year when the Kobe Dean, you were glued to your TV for, midway through the third round, wasn't it, that the Eagles finally jumped up and picked him, but you're like, is this going to be the ones that pick him at 50? And then, it's 60, 65, 70. And then, of course, the Falcons come up, and you're thinking, oh, boy, this is going to be it. The Falcons are going to take N'Kobe, and they didn't. I think they took Desmond Ridder. We'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of intriguing factors, especially with the guys that Georgia's producing year in and year out. I mean, there's always the chance that you're going to get some early action, especially picks 1 through 60 or so. And yeah, we got to be tuned into that.
All right. How many Georgia guys get drafted? The kind of over under, well, not over under, but the projections that I'm seeing mostly are 10 total. which would leave out like a Kyrus Jackson, a Jack Podlesny, a Warren Erickson. I think that's it. I think that's 13. That's the max they can hit.
So that's including a Stetson Bennett somewhere, maybe fifth round, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think Stetson's going to get drafted. I don't know if it's going to be in the fifth round. Could be in the fourth. It could be in the seventh. I don't know. I mean, I'd be surprised. You know, he's going to get taken.
Yeah.
Who do you think will be a surprise first rounder? You know, some years. Look, I think it's fair to say that Jalen Carter, that Broderick Jones and Nolan Smith will go in the first round, and I'm going to be watching to see if they all go in the top 20, which is very possible. But can Darnell Washington, Keely Ringo sneak in the first round? Do you think either of those guys gets in there?
Right. I think Darnell, right? I mean, he's a guy that everybody said would kind of wow people at the NFL combine. And I mean, you know, with some of the catches he made, some of the way he just looks physically, I think he's a guy that could sneak up. Somebody, you know, at around 25 or so is like, you know what? This guy is built for incredible things outside of just being a tight end. I mean, you can split him out and he could be a receiver going up against, you know, some of those cornerbacks and whatnot. That does have the feel of a guy that might sneak in there in the top, you know, 32 there in the first round. So I just think that he has that look that has the coaches salivating and the GMs and whatnot. So he's my pick. Do you have anybody? What do you think?
I think it might be Keely Moore. I think there might be a run on cornerbacks. It won't be 32 first-round picks. There's only 31 this year. Somebody had a forfeit. Yeah. I can't remember the circumstances exactly, but so you only have 31. If poor guy, whoever gets picked 32nd, he would have been a first-rounder, right? But he won't be now.
I wonder if that changes contractual obligations and whatnot. That'd be a bummer.
I don't think so. I think they're just skipping. I don't know exactly. Who do you think may slide? It will possibly Jalen Carter, possibly Nolan Smith.
I mean, you think Jalen, he was, I think, consensus top 3 to 5, you know, pick, maybe number one overall before.
Well, when I say slide now, I'm talking about if he's lower than 5 or 6, I consider that a slide.
That's what I'm saying. I think, you know, I've been seeing him at 8 or 9, maybe, you know, could the Falcons possibly take him? Does he slip past that? I think, you know, I think there's a lot of questions still for Jalen. Because of all the stuff you've seen about, you know, maybe the best defensive lineman in the past 20 years to come out of college football. Is this a guy that we're going to stick to that and give zero care about, you know, any off-field questions possibly? I mean, is this a guy that you think matures and comes in and, you know, and until the recent incidents, we didn't have any reason to question Jalen Carter, I don't think. And then, you know, is that what NFL teams are thinking? You know, you could have this dominant defensive lineman that we pick at 3rd overall, keeps his nose clean, everything goes fine, and we have an incredible player. Or does he slide back a little bit because of some of those reasons? But and also, and you know, he didn't do much for himself at Georgia's Pro Day, right? So that could be something that helps his slide too, if that's what it comes to.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to go to the Falcons. I think, you know, if he's there at 9 for the Bears or 10 for the Eagles, I think those are possibilities. I think the Falcons want a pure pass rusher, so someone from the edge probably. But I know the Bears have kind of done their due diligence on the background stuff.
Winning a trade, I think the Bears pretty much crushed the Panthers in that trade.
I mean, a lot of
draft picks. Yeah. You know, and a receiver that can slide right in there. So,
who do you think is going to go lower than they should? You know, is there anyone of Georgia's guys that you think is kind of being undervalued? Whether, you know, Kenny McIntosh seems like he might be kind of a fifth, sixth round guy. Does that seem about right? I don't. Robert Beal could be anywhere from like a fourth rounder to
undrafted, right?
Undrafted, maybe.
About a Chris Smith.
Yeah, Chris Smith seems like a good. I mean, he's probably a day three guy, and he might have more value than that.
Yeah, I mean, you think about him going into maybe a star type position or something at the next level, or you know, even a safety. for all he did for 3 years, really, at Georgia, I mean, he was key to that defense in so many ways. And I think, you know, you get him on a NFL field and with his maturity, athleticism and everything, I think he could be a guy that is overlooked. But maybe some teams see that and they're, you know, they might take him a little higher than you expect in that sense. So we'll see.
All right, let's move from the NFL draft to the current Georgia roster and comings and goings. I guess really no incoming transfers lately, but Bear Alexander is now a Southern Cal Trojan. You know, obviously didn't take part in the G-Day game and, you know, kind of the school that he was connected to from the get-go when, you know, it was clear that he was out the door. I'm very sad as a Georgia football writer that Bear Alexander will not be with the program because didn't have much interaction with him, but did speak to him in the locker room after the championship game in LA. But did you see his comments to ESPN?
I did not, but I did talk to him before the Peach Bowl as well. I was on a mission to find him and spoke to him. But what did he say to ESPN?
After he went to Southern Cal or announced to Southern Cal, he said, "Not to brag on myself, but everyone wants the big bear. Everyone needs a big 300-pounder that can move with the twitch, the burst, the explosion that I bring to the game. Everyone needs that as part of their defense."
All right, bear. Humble.
That's a money quote. Probably not a great thing that you'd want to see if you're a coaching staff, but as a reporter, that's entertaining. That's an interesting quote. Probably only makes Georgia fans kind of more animosity towards him. He also said, "I feel as if there wasn't a significant amount of snaps at Georgia. I was more of a pass rush specialist in year one. Coming into this spring, I wanted to be in a position where I could show my versatility as a player. I felt like I wasn't able to do that at Georgia. I was a third down specialist. I'm more of a first and second down player. I can play every down."
Dang, Bear, man, you were a freshman, first off. You're behind possibly the best defensive lineman of the past 20 years and other, you know, upperclassmen. Man, wait your time, man. But I guess he didn't want to.
Bear, we will miss you in the postgame press conferences.
You know, as an editor, I'm thinking about all the headlines that we could have used if he impacted the game, man. Mm. Bear attack, bear, cocaine bear. Nah, maybe not.
Whoa, what are you saying? Come on. I think it's inflammatory, libelous. All right, Marcus Washington Jr. in the portal. Spent one season with Georgia, the DB out of the Augusta area. Was deep down the depth chart, so not a surprise that he would move on. But only one season and reclassified. Probably would have served better just staying in high school and getting more experience than what he did at Georgia. Now, clearly, you got some good practices with the scout team, but I guess he saw the writing on the wall in terms of getting playing time.
Now, I'm sure you remember covering Marcus Washington Sr., which is so funny. I think I went to school with him at Georgia. It doesn't seem like that long ago, and he's got a kid at Georgia. But our sister paper over at Augusta talked to Marcus Sr. about the transfer. So if you head to Augusta Chronicle, see a good little article about, I guess, the decision behind it. And it wasn't taken lightly, Marcus Sr. said, so, which is understandable, being a legacy player and all.
I don't think you have to go to Augusta. I think it's on our website.
Is it on the Athens Banner Herald? Visit the Athens Banner Herald website as well at onlineathens.com.
It might be. Ryan Davis out the door, the veteran inside linebacker, now already committed to the UCF.
Yeah.
And Griffin Scroggs, who was a Georgia Tech commitment at one point, flipped, signed with Georgia, another one-year guy. He is on the move. Bear Alexander is in a different class in terms of his impact as he would have been, you know, coming up in the next couple of years. You know, Davis could have got some, you know, depth. He would have been a big depth piece this year at inside line, maybe. I mean, they got some young guys moving in there, but the other guys, you know, very down the depth chart, and you know, so that's the nature of it. All right, what about Georgia basketball? Did you keep track of all the comings and goings on that team?
That was hard to keep track of. It was like boom, boom, boom there on some things, including, you know, what was it, two top 100s that committed, or was it three guys all at once?
Well, the only top 100 guy, per se, is Silas DeMary, a combo guard out of North Carolina, signed with Southern Cal, got out of that letter of intent, and is the third member of Georgia's 2023 signing class. Other two guys signed in the early period. So that's three top 100 guys that Mike White has in this class, which he only had one guy last year, and that guy bolted in December. Couple of transfers that have come in. Jalen DeLoach from VCU, who has a background, played high school ball in Savannah a couple of years and I guess grew up there. Seems like all these guys go to multiple high schools nowadays. So
yeah.
DeLoach, 9.7 points a game, 6.9 rebounds, 47 blocks last season at VCU. That's a good program. They made it to the NCAA tournament last year, went 27-8. The other guy was RJ Melendez, 6'7", more of a wing player, I guess, started 18 games for Illinois team that also made the tournament, 6 points, 3.5 rebounds a game. So Deloach in particular, it seems like a very good pickup. And Demary, obviously, if you can get him in on the ground level coming in and keep him for two or three seasons.
That's the big thing, isn't it? I think it still starts with recruiting as much as the portal is it plays such a big factor these days. You gotta get these guys in and keep them in. Because I think Georgia had that a few years back with Tom Crean. I mean, you had that Sevier Tamani. Obviously, we didn't think that Ant-Man was going to stick around, but I mean, they had a core there, and all of them said goodbye.
Speaking of Sevier,
yep, Washington, huh?
I was driving back from a little lunch I had today, and Sevier did a YouTube show with some guys out of Houston, where he's from, to make his announcement. Now, it wasn't like he just announced at the top of the show. This is like a half hour. He chatted up with these guys, and finally at the end, or at least when I cut out, he announced he was going to Washington, which was expected. He did visit Georgia. Would have been interesting, but he'll be with his third program now. Another guard for Georgia made his decision. Kerry Oquendo, a former podcast guest.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we'll get him on again. What do you think?
I think we'll have him now, but where heading, did he land? I didn't
heading,
see.
Heading to Oregon. So there'll be some there'll be some Sevier versus Kerryo matchups when Oregon plays Washington in Pac-12 games.
That's a good waste from Georgia. How about another guy off that Tom Crean team, Jaquan Walton? Are we talking about him?
Yeah, Jaquan, well, that's a long time ago. He was at a couple of schools. He was at junior college at Wichita State and was going to go to Alabama, had a incident where charged with marijuana possession, had a gun in his car, and Alabama's no longer taking him now.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll end up.
They're walking a fine line in Crimson Tide land right now, basketball-wise.
All right, why don't we take a little break? We'll come back. We'll talk about the situation with the Devin Willick case. And baseball's on a roll, except for a little midweek stumble yesterday. Some details about Stegman and what's going on there. And we'll knock it out a couple other items and come on back.
Thanks for listening to the Bulldogs Extra Podcast. Like what you hear? Subscribe today wherever you get your podcast. Give us a rating, a like, and even leave us a comment to let us know how we're doing. As always, find more content at onlineathens.com and in the Athens Banner Herald. Now, let's get back to the show.
All right, welcome back. Ryan, Devin Willick got an inspiration award from Georgia Athletics internal awards ceremony or banquet. I don't know exactly what they do. This was on Monday this week. And then the next day, word got out that the father of Devin Willick is set to file a lawsuit against the Board of Regents, UGA Athletics, UGA, seeking $2 million, which is the most allowed for a state entity like the Board of Regents, accusing Georgia of knowing several things, but a wrongful death suit, saying that they knew of Chandler LaCroix, that she would be taking players and recruits all weekend, including into Sunday of that weekend where the fatal crash was on that morning, that she'd be keeping the vehicle on that Sunday, and that alcohol would be served to players and recruits. UGA spokesperson denied most of what was said in that legal notice that I obtained through an open records request yesterday. The story's on onlineathens.com, but the lawyers for Devin Willick's father indicated that more lawsuits will be coming, including to Chandler LaCroix's family. So this is kind of what you expected might happen, the aftermath of, they also mentioned her speeding tickets, a history of speeding, and that UGA knew about it and didn't stop her from serving in that role as a recruiting analyst.
I mean, not only did they not stop her, they tried to help her get out of some of those tickets, which isn't a good look. And yeah, I think we all saw that coming, with lawsuits and all. So,
yeah. So, no comment from the Board of Regents on it. So we'll see where this goes and what other documents come out of, some of the open records requests that are out there. And I think they indicated that text messages, emails, written notices kind of indicated maybe more of a culpability on the UGA's end than that they portrayed. But UGA obviously has a different perspective, and so it is what it is for now. On a happier note, Ryan, Connor Tate with another ninth inning grand slam over the weekend as Georgia swept Arkansas and lost to Georgia State yesterday. But would you believe that Georgia is in the NCAA tournament as of today? According to Baseball America, they had a projection. Georgia's in the last four in, along with Northeastern, UC Santa Barbara, and Old Dominion. Georgia baseball, NCAA tournament bound as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, you sweep number five team in the country. Makes sense to me. What was that stat that Chris Lakos of UGA baseball sent out? Something about since 2018, SEC teams were 0-340 when trailing by four or more runs going in the last inning. And then,
yeah, I think that was an SEC network stat that he shared.
Georgia did it two weekends in a row, right? Florida and Arkansas.
Yeah. So look, Georgia's in a good position now, but you go to an Ole Miss team that's pretty bad this year, right?
Yeah.
And they
can't keep losing these midweek games to Georgia State either, because that's not a good look.
I don't know exactly how that kind of factors in. I mean, it all factors in, but I think I noticed a score that Arkansas lost at some nondescript midweek game yesterday.
Like Missouri State, and then LSU lost to Nicholls State last night too.
Yeah. So. Ole Miss is 3-15 in the SEC. They got the worst record. But I mean, that's the kind of thing where I think there'll be a lot of pressure on Georgia to, you can't.
I was looking at a document yesterday that showed every team and where they started the year to where they are now ranked wise. And I think Ole Miss was third in the nation to start the year. Now they've struggled obviously more than people thought, but I mean, there was expectations there. And what if those come out all of a sudden, you can't go in there thinking you're going to just walk over anybody. I know that.
All right, Ryan, Stegman Coliseum is going to be up and running for basketball. Volleyball is not going to be played in there this year. They're going to be back in Ramsey.
That's where it should be played, too. I mean, that's a cool little venue, I think.
Actually, yeah, I was over at for Georgia Volleyball. Look, we don't cover every sport at Georgia. We try to hit on them and, with a nice feature here and there. We don't have the manpower now for that. But I kind of enjoyed the volleyball match. I went there a couple of years ago, just with the family. Good lighting and a good setting and close to the action, that kind of thing. But I will say that, did you hear some of the ideas that Josh Brooks has for Stegman to kind of spruce it up, make it feel more modern?
No, do tell.
It's going to darken the ceiling. I shouldn't be any jokes about the ceiling, given that they had pieces of it falling, and that's why the thing is closed down now and there's scaffolding all in there. But he said it kind of make it look more like State Farm Arena and Madison Square Garden. They're going to be – part of the issues that they found with these engineering reports is that some of the changes that they made, including putting in the center scoreboard, and then what do they call it? Like I can't remember the term they used, an engineering term, but, the glass kind of you know, the attractive glass on the sides, I guess it's attractive maybe for most people, but, you know, all that stuff changed some of the dynamics. The air conditioning and heating system also was altered. So everything has like an effect on what you had there to begin with in a building that was built in 1964. So they think the center scoreboard might have some impact on, you know, the structural, not that it's going to cause a big issue. They say structurally the building is not in any danger of anything, you know, incredibly serious or anything like that. But Josh Brooks says that he's going to, not this season, but after, the center scoreboard will be taken down, and they're going to just put a huge video board where the graphics are in there, you know, on the side.
Where like Cordy Coupette is and all that?
Yeah. How much did you like, do you like the big scoreboard? Do you look at it? Not the big video board, the center video board, the center scoreboard. Do you find yourself like looking at that much when you're at games there, or are you looking at other things?
Now, are you talking about the thing that's behind like the student section, or the thing that hangs down?
No, the hanging scoreboard.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good upgrade. When did they do that? About 8 years ago now?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that brought it into a more modern venue, because every big time venue from pros to college has something like that. And I think it's necessary.
But well, he's talking about a huge, gigantic scoreboard, I think he said, something like that. That would be,
but they're gonna take out the one hanging down, which I think is just kind of what makes an arena an arena. I mean, the big scoreboard is just kind of modern and what every place has. And now if they could do something different along the wall, I think that would be very unique. And you know, maybe if it's like, you know, I think about Jacksonville, right? They have that huge.
Yeah.
That goes from one.
Yeah.
You know, end zone, corner of the end zone, to the other corner of the end zone or whatever. And, I mean, those are impressive. So if Stegman has something like that, it might be unique and cool for that old place.
All right. Before we get out of here, I guess make a quick mention that the women's tennis team won the SEC tournament. Men's mm-hmm. tennis team could not hold on and lost to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever the conference tournaments are nice, but it really matters what you do in the NCAAs, which is coming up now in May. I guess we should make mention that we talked about all the basketball on the men's side. The women's team got Destiny Thomas, another UCF player, coming to play for Coach Katie Abrahamson Henderson. I guess to keep going to that. Well, until the talent's dried out, right? She recruited her there, bring her over here. She was a top scorer there last year. And then they get a Tanya Thompson, I think is her name, a transfer from Penn State. Yeah. Ryan, I know you're up keeping tabs of all the women's basketball recruiting. You know,
well, I'll tell you what, you know, you think about last year, and Georgia played South Carolina pretty well twice. They took LSU to overtime at LSU, and they end up winning the championship. So I think there's, you know, hope on the horizon there, and or if not even on the horizon, I think it's there. And the expectations for Georgia to be pretty good under Coach Abe, and took Iowa down to the wire too in the NCAA tournament. So, I like what she's done so far.
All right, everyone, keep it at onlineathens.com this weekend for the draft, or I guess Thursday starting up. We got some content coming your way as Georgia guys get drafted, and we'll follow it from pick one to, I don't even know how deep they go, do the math, into the
255 this year.
Yeah, it goes deep. And who knows, maybe the Falcons will take a couple more Georgia guys. They took had their share last year, some late round guys. Go ahead and give us a 5-star review. Ryan always appreciates that. And we will talk to you guys next time.
Yeah.